I'd like to pause here and just say a welcome. I would like to say hello to my fellow colleagues that are here on the chancel, to members of the search committee, to members of the council who met here yesterday morning, to those of you who came last night to our potluck gathering. I'm sure that many people went home with piles of cookies. From that event. I know that we did. And we still have piles of cookies for the rest of you to finish off. I want to say hello to some of you whom I know from my Camp Casadero days. And to you, I will say, I'm back. And it really is a joy to see all of you here. And I need to take a moment because I haven't had a chance to do this yet. To say hello to my mom, happy Mother's Day, and to my mother-in-law, happy Mother's Day, and to my sister, happy Mother's Day to you as well. And look at that mom. Aren't moms awesome? They are awesome. They do it all. The kids don't always think so, but the moms are awesome. Just put out there before I start, nervous. It's new. It's different. To be in this space, but I'm trusting in the Spirit. Your architecture speaks of the Spirit. Do you see the dove descending in the window? And so many sanctuary roofs look like a ship, as they are supposed to. It is the nave, after all. But yours is sloped like brooding wings, another invocation of that Spirit. The Spirit is woven throughout the entire Scripture, all the way from the very first verse of Genesis to the very last book, and there they have to repeat it seven times, woven all the way through the Scripture. It is as if our scriptural tradition is an autobiography of the Spirit itself. And Jesus' ministry, Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, is one who is baptized in the Spirit, anointed in the Spirit, and whose entire ministry is a living out of the Spirit. Consider in the Gospel of Luke, the very first time that Jesus speaks in the synagogue. He probably felt a little bit the way I'm feeling right now. Not quite sure what to make of all of these faces looking at him, but he opened up the book, and it was to Isaiah. And there in Isaiah, it said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, to proclaim a day of jubilee and release." The charter statement of Jesus' ministry is all about the Spirit of the Lord and what it is sending him to do. So I've chosen these texts. It's a Spirit-filled time of year. You heard that next Sunday is Red Hot Sunday, Pentecost Sunday. And last Thursday, an oft-overlooked festival of the year was, anyone? Ascension Day. And on Ascension Day, it's the story of Jesus being lifted up into heaven. And again, in the Gospel of Luke, what does he do? He blesses the disciples as he goes, and it creates the room for the Spirit then to be unleashed upon the world. And so the Spirit is woven throughout the tradition. It's woven into the very fibers of what it means to be church. So now stepping forward to the gospel, to whom does Jesus speak these words? Do you remember? John chapter 3. Anyone? It's okay. There are some seminary-trained people here. Nicodemus. Nicodemus in the nighttime. Nicodemus, the rabbi, the spiritual leader, who comes and seeks out Jesus in the nighttime. Why in the nighttime? I don't know. African-American tradition identifies with Nicodemus, who could not worship openly during the day lest it evoke the ire of the slave masters, but rather came to Jesus in the nighttime when worship could happen openly among those who needed to be reminded that God gives just enough spirit to survive that day. Perhaps Nicodemus was ashamed to come to Jesus during the daytime. Jesus was not exactly accepted as mainstream rabbi in his time. Maybe Nicodemus wanted to have a one-on-one pastoral conversation with Jesus. Maybe there were some questions burning on his heart that he just didn't dare bring up around the rest of his colleagues, but he knew he could entrust to Jesus. And so Nicodemus came in the middle of the night. He found Jesus, and they had a conversation. And in the midst of that conversation, Jesus said to Nicodemus that the Spirit is something that you cannot see, but you can hear. The Spirit is something that you cannot see, but that you can hear. What was Nicodemus bringing to this place? Nicodemus, we know about him that he was an upright leader in his community. He was one of those guys which we ministers kind of tend to think of ourselves as kind of having the answers. I've been doing a lot of talking this weekend, pretending like I've got the answers, pretending like I've got it figured out, pretending like I've got the plan. But the reality is we don't really know, or we have an inkling that what we think we know is not the whole answer. Are you relating to this a little bit? Sometimes in the midst of a week or even a day or even an hour, you might think like, okay, I got a handle on this life thing. I think where I'm going. I think I know what the Spirit is telling me to do and where to go. And then a few minutes later, I realize I have no idea what it is I'm doing. So as we begin this journey together as congregation and pastor, I have a little pep talk to give you, okay? So I'm just going to come here in the middle, okay? You don't have to come any closer, but I want to say, I want to say this. Huddle up. Okay, here it is. Let's be honest. We don't really know what we're doing. Okay? Secondly, we don't really know what we believe. We have an inkling, but that's why it's called faith and not certainty. We have an inkling, but we don't really know what we believe. And here's the other one. This is the scariest one. We don't really know where this is all going. So once we kind of admit that, it opens up some possibilities, right? It opens up the possibility that I'm not coming in after your pastor of 38 years, the new guy with all the answers. I don't have them, so don't expect me to. I also don't expect any one of you to have all of the answers. It also opens up the freedom to admit that we don't really know what it is we believe. And so now it's an incredible space opens up to ask those questions that lead us deeper and deeper into the mystery of our faith, into the deeper questions of our faith, rather than simply to the next answers. Is that resonating with you? Okay, I see a few nods. Good. And thirdly, we don't really know where we're going because the Spirit, like the wind, chooses where it is going. And we can decide either to let it carry us or we can decide to resist it. Is your life like that? Because my life's like that. So often, I'm trying to resist the direction that the Spirit is moving me and wants to move me. It's like the time when I went on a trip to Maine with my father. This is when I was in college. He and I drove all the way from California to Maine. And while in Maine, we stayed at a friend's cabin. So you can imagine, it's one of those idyllic situations where you're in your friend's cabin in Maine, right next to a lake. And we decided to go canoeing. So I don't have much experience canoeing. I didn't really know what I was doing, but it's easy enough, right? You get in, you paddle, and you realize you have to switch, right? Because if you paddle this, you just go around in a circle. So you switch to keep going. And everything was fine. Everything was fine. We were having a good time until we reached this very kind of small inlet, and we had to get across on the canoe, but the afternoon winds had picked up. And so I was in the canoe by myself trying to get across, and my father had walked around, and he was on the other side kind of coaxing me, and I'm trying to paddle to the other side, and really, it was only about as far from here to the people who are right back there. Not very far in a canoe, right? So I'm paddling, but the wind is blowing this way. And I'm sitting in the canoe, and the bow of the canoe is sticking up like this, and the wind is pulling it like this way. And I was so frustrated. I kept moving the paddle over and trying to bring it back into the wind, and the wind kept blowing it this way, and my dad was coaxing me on. All of our things, I should mention, were in the canoe itself. Okay, so maybe you know where this is going. So I'm paddling as hard as I can. The wind is blowing. I'm frustrated. I'm trying to move it back. I'm trying to go straight. I'm trying to go in the direction that I want to go. And at some point, I throw up my hands with the oar in one hand. I throw up my hands in frustration. And the canoe went, poosh. And I came up sputtering out of the water. And I looked across at my father, and he was doubled over laughing at me. Just like doubled, like crying, red in the face, crying. And then he realized that all of our stuff had been in the canoe. And like keys and wallets and money and all that stuff was just floating away. So then he started coaxing me to get, so I'm walking on the bottom of this lake, dragging a half-filled canoe across to him. And from that day on, he dubbed me Canoe Man. Canoe Man. See, Canoe Man is the one who thinks that he knows where he's going and that he has everything right there that can get him there, but doesn't pay attention to the fact that the wind is blowing, that it blows where it chooses, that you don't know where it's coming from or where it is going. That is our life together as a church. I'm sorry to say, I don't have the steps to do the this and the that. But that is also the good news. Isn't that good news that the Spirit cannot be turned into a program? The Spirit cannot be domesticated. The Spirit cannot be turned into a list of beliefs that if you just believe in it, everything will be just fine. That is such good news. It is good news that the Spirit is free. It does not exist at our behest. It comes from where it comes from, and it leads we don't know, and we get to choose whether to resist it, and we will, or whether to let it bring us where it is going. In our wider culture, our culture wants to control and codify and direct things. And it can get us quite far. But people of faith know that that's not all that there is to life. We, like Nicodemus, we have this little feeling that there's something more. There's something more at play here, not just our schemes and our plans. But the Spirit, which is blowing in and through the church, and not only in and through, but with, the Spirit invites us into a conspiracy. The word conspiracy means to breathe with. Conspiracy. The Spirit invites the church to breathe with it as it leads and directs where it is going, which may or may not coincide with where we always want to go. And that is incredible news. In other words, the church is called to be the place of ultimate sustainable energy, wind power. If I could right now, I would open up a hole right there in the sanctuary, and I'd open up a hole right there in the sanctuary, and I'd let the wind blow through. So I want you to hold on that image as you discern whether we will continue as people and pastor. That the church is like a wind tunnel that invites the Spirit to blow through it. And we will be God's wind-blown people. It's not always going to look pretty. We're going to have to admit to ourselves and to other people that we don't really know what we're doing, that we don't really know what we believe, and that we don't really know where this is all going. But on our better days, we will trust that the wind, the Spirit of God, does. And so if you have an ear, do you have an ear? Let me see it. Turn to your neighbor and say, I've got an ear. Turn to your other neighbor and say, I've got an ear. You got an ear? If you have an ear, if you have an ear, listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Listen to what the Spirit is saying to this church. Amen.